All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf, Baruch Hashem, is daf Mem Beis 42. We are picking up, Baruch Hashem, in the bottom of Mem Aleph, Mem Beis 41b. We're picking up five lines up from the bottom. A beautiful, beautiful Gemara today. Says the Gemara, V'am Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Chanina, Am Rabasi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Kama Mevarchin Ala Chodesh. So let's remember again, now that we got a little bit into a discussion about the durations of the months, again, remember the tie-in to this sugya was the fact that in our Mishnah we were speaking about the fact that if there are discrepancies amongst the Edim regarding what day of the month, we could attribute at least to a certain degree the discrepancy. Okay. We can attribute the discrepancy, or say, to a lack of knowledge regarding whether or not the previous month was a mali or a chaser. So now that we were discussing about the duration of the month, the Gemara launches into a little bit of a discussion regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. It's actually a very beautiful Gemara. It's actually very halacha l'maisa, and especially very beautiful given the fact that I'm sure in many kehilos, including ours, last night we recited Kiddush HaChodesh. So Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara says over here, Ad Kama Mevarchin Ala Chodesh. So when they speak about Ad Kama Mevarchin Ala Chodesh, Rashi says over here, Al Halavana Beis Chadsha. So until what point in time in the month can you go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana? So the Gemara answers, or this is Rabbi Yochanan answers, Ad She Tismali Pigimasa. Was it literally translated until the Pigima, the deficiency of the moon is filled in. Thank you, Say. Until the deficiency of the moon is filled in. The comma. So we'll say, so what does that mean, until the deficiency of the moon is filled in? In other words, obviously what the Gemara is saying over here, at the beginning of the month, the moon begins as a very small sliver. So you can recite Kiddush Levana until the sliver is filled in, the deficiency is filled in. So you know how much of the deficiency? The comma. Am Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Am Rav Yehuda, Ad Shiva. Until the seventh of the month. So you could go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana until the seventh of the month. Nardoyim, the Nardoyim say no, Ad Shisha Asar, until the 16th of the month. So we'll say, what's unique about the 16th of the month? The 16th of the month ultimately, again, is when the moon is full. And the moon is full. So the Gemara says, Tap of Membeis, V'tarvayik Rabbi Yochanan Sfilin. I will say, interestingly enough, both of them subscribe to the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember again, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that you could recite Kiddush Levana until when? Ache tismale pigimasa. Until the deficiency, the pigima, that which is lacking, is filled in. Both Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, or Shtei Rabbi Yehuda, and the Nardoim agree with that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that you can go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana until the deficiency is filled in. What they argue about is, what's the definition of the deficiency? So the Gemara says, So the first opinion, who holds up ultimately until the seventh of the month, he holds until the moon looks like a bow that has somewhat filled in. So when you look at the seventh of the month, the moon is still crescent shaped. But as opposed to, let's say, if you went out last night where it was just a little crescent, by the seventh of the month, it's the crescent, but some of the, I don't know what the right terminology over here is called, some of the arc. Right, some of the semicircle is filled in. So in that image is a bow that is filled in. So the moon looks closer to half full. Halamihavikinafya. Whereas the Nardoim say no, that it should look like a sieve. We'll say, what's a sieve? So a sieve is a full circle. So it's a fundamental machlokis, both agreeing. Bless you. With the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, but a machlokis, can you recite it until the 7th of the month or the 16th of the month? And by the way, when we say the 16th of the month, what do they mean? They mean ad velo ad bichlal. Meaning up until the 16th really means what? Through the 15th. Through the 15th of the month you can recite Kiddush Levana. So we'll say ultimately again, we know that halacha l'maisa, we follow the position of the Naradoim, and we recite Kiddush Levana up through the middle of the month, up until the 16th, meaning through the 15th we can recite Kiddush Levana, but no longer. So the Gemara says something so beautiful over here. Amar li Rav Acha mi difti l'Ravina, v'livarech hatov v'hametiv. It's just so beautiful. why don't we recite the bracha of Hatov Hamitiv every month with the new moon? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Three lines in and the wide lines at the top. Levarach Hatov Hamitiv. Ad Rav Yehuda Parich, Nehi Nami Dimishiva Ve'elach Lekka Lameymar, Nechadish Chadoshim, Levarach Mi Hatov Hamitiv, Shekol Shoshu Meitiv Lanu, B'mili Usa, Tamid Shemosef Ve'slarilam. So we'll say, the way Rashi understands this question is the following. Rashi understands that even according to Rav Yehuda, who holds that you could only recite Kiddush Levana until the 7th of the month, let's say I missed the window for Kiddush Levana, I should still be able to what? Recite the bracha of Hatol V'Hamitiv. Up until when? Up until the middle of the month. In other words, because it was like up until the time that the moon itself is renewing, even if I missed the window for Kiddush Levana, I should still be able to recite Hatol V'Hamitiv. So what's Hatol V'Hamitiv is the bracha that is made either whenever something good that also bestows good upon others is occurring. So in this case over here, the moon is renewing. It's a good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and it's a good ultimately that benefits us as well. Let's say Hatol V'Hamitiv, according to Rabbi Huda, between 7th and the 15th, Amarlei, Atu ki chaser mima varchinan dayan ha-emes, tili varech hatov v'hamitiv. So Rosa, this is actually very interesting. The Gemara suggests that if you're going to say hatov v'hamitiv as the moon goes through its process of filling in, then what? Then you should recite dayan ha-emes when the moon ultimately again begins to diminish. In other words, Hatov HaMitiv and Dayan HaMS are two sides of the same coin. So if you're going to tell me that the filling in of the moon ultimately gets Hatov HaMitiv, then ultimately again the deficiency of the moon, or I should say, the moon becoming deficient, should get a Dayan HaMS, to which the Gemara says, okay, so why not? Fine. And the woman Gemara says, okay, why don't we go ahead and say Hatov HaMitiv between the 7th and the 15th if you miss Kedesh Levana, and say Dayan HaMS when the moon is becoming deficient, to which the Gemara answers, Kevan Dahainu Orchei Lo Mevarachinam. To which I will say, the Gemara essentially answers that since this is the normal course of the world each and every month, we do not recite these brachas. Take a look at Rashi. Tahainu Orchei, Bechol Kodesh Briyas Olam Kimin Hagohi. Each and every month, the world creation renews in its normal fashion. Ve'id kan din paronos bechesrona, velo hatavasa lanu chesed bimilu asa. So this is very interesting. So apparently, Atova Hamitiv and Dayan HaMS only go on things that occur without scheduled regularity. But events that occur with scheduled regularity, such as the filling in of the moon, such as the deficiency of the moon, ultimately, again, those events do not get a Dayan HaMS, those events do not get a Tov HaMeitiv. Incredible. Let's listen to this next beautiful Gemara. Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kala Mevarech Al HaChodesh Bizmano, whoever I will say recites Kiddush Levana in its appointed time, Kila Mekabel Pnei Shechino. It's as if he's gone ahead and been Mekabel, literally received the Shechina itself. Where do we know this from? Says the Gemara Kesef Hacha, HaChodesh Hazeh. It says, Barosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh. This month is Yom Rosh Chodeshim. Ukesef Hasam, Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. So we'll say, remember again, Zeh Keli Va'anvehu is by as Yosher. What does Rashi HaKadosh comment on Zeh Keli Va'anvehu? Zeh, that literally they were able to see the Shechina. They were able to point, Zeh Keli, this is my God. So the Gemara makes a gzir shava of Zeh. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachim Rosh Chodeshim, Zeh Keli Va'anvehu. Just like by the Shira, they were literally able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, when a person recites Kiddush Levana Bizmano, it's as if they are being Mekabel V'Pnei HaShechina. I'll just tell you something. In addition to the beautiful, beautiful Gezer Shava, the Marsha, I'll just read this to you for a second. The Marsha says, he quotes over here, I am Bezeh Perish Rivam, Besof Tfilas HaShachar, Vishomer Lefish Sheishah Begalusan, Einon Zochel Niroz Pnei Shechina. Urchel Komi Kabbalasa. I will say, you know, in the Galus, we don't have the ability, ultimately, to see the Pnei HaShechina. We see manifestations of God. We see the Ribbono Shel Olam many different ways. But we're not able to see Pnei HaShechina. We're not able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam directly in Galus. Aval Chidush HaLavonehu Simen LeYisrael, Shemaschidin LeSchadesh Kemosa, Ulefa'er LeYotram B'Kibo Pnei HaShechina, Kemoshe Yora Al Zeh Birchas, Nusach Birchas HaLavona. Ulezeh, Kesharno Mevarchin Al HaChodesh Bizmano, Shu Simen Shano Asidin LeSchadesh Kemosa, Vahari Anu Ki'ilin Mekalo Pnei HaShechina. Shavuot say in Galus, and you know, when we speak about Galus, Shavuot say, you know, I'm going to say something that I don't like saying, but it's the MS. You know, Galus doesn't just mean living in Eretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael also presently is also Galus. It's much closer to Shechina, but it's still Galus also. Up until when? Until Mashiach comes and the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, it's Galus. Everything is Galus. When there is Galus, the Jew is not able to be mechabel the Pnei Hashchina in a pure, unadulterated way. And that is a difficult, bitter pill to swallow. But yet every single month when we go out and we see the moon renewing, we are reminded that just as the moon renews, Klal Yisrael will renew. Just as the moon goes through periods of darkness, but once again becomes beautiful and luminescent, Klal Yisrael, even though we are currently have been undergoing periods of darkness, I just mean as a collective, through thousands of years of Galus, we will renew, we will become luminescent, and we will be Mekabal Pnei Hashchina. That's what the Gemara means over here. That every single month when you go out and we recite Kiddush Levana, it's Ke'ilu Mekabal Pnei Hashchina, which means that it gives us the chizuk to know that one day, halavai bikarav, the day will come, Emirat Hashem, when Geula will come, and we will mamish be mekabel v'pnei Hashem. We'll be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam, experience Him in a pure, unadulterated way. An incredible Gemara. Tana Devi Rabbi Shmuel. Il Moli Lo Zachu Yisrael. Ela Lahak v'pnei Avim Shebashayim Kol Chodesh v'Chodesh Dayom. So we'll say another beautiful Gemara. Therefore, had Klal Yisrael not had the... If only it's like a dayenu. If you only had the opportunity, and also remember, we recite. If these gemaras sound familiar, it's because we said them last night, right? I mean, they're sounds a bit familiar, right? Right? It's right. These are incorporated as part of Kiddush Levana. That were ilmale. If Klal Yisrael didn't have the opportunity, if all Klal Yisrael had was the opportunity to be mekabel pnei avin shemashan, to mekabel hakodesh baruch hu each and every month through kiddush kodesh dayom. We'll say, so what, first of all, what does that mean? If I only had one mitzvah kiddush hakodesh, that would be enough. Remember again, kiddush levana that we do today. We'll say, is that a mitzvah? Pashtus not. It's not one of the 613 mitzvos, right? Meaning, again, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is done by the Beis Din, by the Sanhedrin of declaring the new month. Kiddush Levana that we have today is a tefillah. It's a beautiful tefillah. So what does that mean? What does that mean? That if all we had was Kiddush Levana, if all we had was the opportunity to go outside to be mekabel Hashchina once a month, that would be enough. I will say what it means is, mitzvos give us chizuk. Mitzvos give us strength. The strength that Kiddush Levana gives us is enough to fuel us for the entire month. Because I will say, what's the message of Kiddush Levana? The message of Kiddush Levana is, no matter how dark I have become, I bless you, I can always renew. No matter how much I've slipped, no matter how much I've lost, some of my beautiful, luminescent radiance, I can always rebound. That is true whether as an individual, as a klal. And I will say, that chizuk is so powerful, that chizuk is so meaningful, that even just that almost like booster shot, that like lahavdil, it's like a z-pack of spirituality. You know, you mamish, like, you just get this intensity of incredible chizuk, and mamish, that's enough to fuel me for the month. Tana Dei Rabbi Shmuel. So Abaye says, because this is so important, therefore I will say, we should, because Kiddush HaKodesh is so, I keep saying Kiddush HaKodesh, I mean Kiddush Levana, is so important, therefore what? We should say it standing. Mereimar Umar Zutra, Mekasi Adadir. We'll say Mereimar Zutra, it was so important for them to say Kiddush Levana, that even though they were old and frail, they used to be carried out on the shoulders of people to recite Kiddush Levana. But Shabbos said, you know, it's an incredible thing. I know sometimes, on Matzei Shabbos, there's a Yetzihara to run elsewhere by Kiddush Levana, right? You know, you have to time it, because you don't want to run to your car while everybody's already outside, saying you need like a 2-minute head start, you know, to whatever. I don't want to, because there's something else. But listen, there's nothing else. Mamish, if you want the Z-pack of spirituality, you want the booster shot, you want to be mekabel pnei avim shebashamayim, it's the incredible opportunity we have. And it's what? It's 6, 7, 8 minutes. With the dancing, it's 9 minutes. Okay. So says the Gemara, O Mevarchi, Armali Ravacha L'Ravashi, Ma'arava Mevarchi, Son Eretz Yisrael, used to recite the following bracha. Baruch Mechadesh Chadoshim. So interesting, we will say, in Eretz Yisrael, so Kiddush Levana consisted of Baruch Mechadish Chadoshim. That's it. That's it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Hai Noshi Didan Nami Mevarchi. So that sounds like a bracha for women. Right? Baruch Mechadish Chadoshim. It's like a woman's bracha. Right? Right? We're men. Give us a little bit more. So I say, so what does this mean? So the Marasha over here again comments. The Marasha says, Ratzal Omar, Tfilu Kitzara Kizu, Noshi Nami Tuchlu Levarich Ba Peba Laila. In other words, such a simple bracha, the idea is that even women, I will say, historically, we're not as educated or well-versed in tefillos as men. Even a woman could recite such a small, short bracha. He goes on, Inami dachi kamar, noshina mituchu levar kidekamrit, baruch mechadish chadashim, below askaras Hashem betumas leidasan. The other idea over here, I will say, is that since this bracha doesn't have a shem Hashem, it's possible that a woman could say it even throughout the entire month, no matter what her personal purity state is. So the Gemara says, so what's going on with this bracha? There are a lot of other approaches with this also, but we'll leave it for now. So the Gemara says, "Alukid Rav Yehuda Amarav, Dam Rav Yehuda, Baruch Asher B'Ma'ara Baruch Shechakim." So we'll say, Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav said, in fact, Kiddush Levana should be a longer bracha. What's the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam, Asher B'Ma'ara Baruch Shechakim. Through His words, His Kadosh Baruch Hu's words, He has created the heavens. Ubaruach Piv Kol Tzva'am. And ultimately, again, through the breath of His mouth, He has created the entire heavenly host. Chok uzman nasan lohem. He has given each of the heavenly hosts. A chok is rules and specific times. Shelo yishanu as tafkidam. They should not deviate from their mission. Sasim usmeichem la'asos ritzon konam. And they are so happy and jubilant to go and fulfill the will of their Creator. Paulei emes. They toil truthfully. Shepu'ulasan emes, whose work is truth. Ulevana amar shetischadish ateres tiferes la'amusei batem. And to the moon he has said, shetischadish, moon should renew every month. Ateres, it is a crown of glory, la'amusei batem, to those who come from the womb. Shehein asidin le'ischadish kimosa. For they are destined to renew like the moon. So we'll say this is the dynamic we spoke about before, that we who are born of the womb ultimately gain incredible chizuk from the moon. That just as the moon renews, we are destined to renew as well. Ulefa'er liyotzram, and ultimately to give glory to our Creator. Hashem kivod malchuso, baruch ato Hashem mechadesh chadash. So we'll say absolutely amazing that the very bracha that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav is pretty much the very bracha that we recite to this very day. Ki b'sach bulos ta'asa lochama lochama. So we'll say now the Gemara switches gears a little bit. Ki b'sach bulos ta'asa lochama lochama. Because we'll say sach bulos means strategies, right? Strategies. Or tach bulos, yeah, strategies. Through strategies he will do war. Amar avacha brachanino, amar avasi, amar abiyochanan. B'miyat tamotzi mechamta shal Torah. By who do you find the ability to wage the war of Torah? B'mi sheyesh biyado chavilos shal mishnah. So the Gemara makes a little bit of a play on words. So tachbulos literally means strategies or plans. Only he who has a strategy, only he who has a plan, has the ability to wage war. So the Gemara darshins this a little bit. Who has the ability to wage the war of Torah? In other words, who has the ability to be successful in understanding and adjudicating matters of Torah? Only he who carries piles of Mishnah. In other words, only a person who is well versed in knowledge. So the Gemara says, Kai Rav Yosef Anafshei, Rav Yosef used to say about himself, ultimately again, Verav Tavuos Bechoach Shor. The ultimately again, the Shor, when he has ultimately all of strength, Rav Tavuos is able to transport an incredible amount of grain. Tosas points out that Rav Yosef said this about himself because this was the praise given to Yosef. Yosef was called Bechar Shar. So Rav Yosef used to say about himself, through the power of the Shar has the ability to transport much Tavua. Tavua over here, ultimately, again, a reference to Torah. Good, beautiful. So we'll say, just, you know, Tosas also points this out. An incredible yisod, by the way, and one of the dominant themes in Kiddush Levana is the idea that the fixtures of nature, shelo yeshanu es tafkidam, poa le emes, part of the greatest praise that nature gets is that they have a job and they don't veer from the job. And both say to a certain degree, the Rishonim bring down that that's part of the Musar that we are supposed to get from Kiddush Levana as well. We each have a mission. Now again, we have specific individualized missions, but big adol on a general level, our Mishnah is to carry out the Ratzon HaBore through the performance of Torah and Mitzvos. And we are supposed to take our Musar from creation. The moon never deviates from what it's supposed to do. The sun doesn't deviate from what it's supposed to do. The seas do what they're supposed to do. And the Yid, the Jew, is to learn from nature as well. I have a mission, and it's my job to achieve consistency. That's the beauty of nature. You can count on nature. There's consistency. It's true there are changes, but even those changes are part of the plan. So I have to learn. That's the Musar I take from nature, is the beauty of consistency. Good. The Gemara goes weiter. Echad Omer b'shtei shos. Amrav Simbar Ashi. Lo shanu ala shos. So I said we discussed the idea that when witnesses give testimony, we allow for some margin of error about if one says it happened, and the second hour one says it happened, and the third hour, aval echad omer kodem aneitzacham, kodem aneitzachama, ve'echad omer la'achar aneitzachama, edusan betela. We'll say if one witness says the murder occurred before sunrise, one witness says it happened after sunrise, even the water both say, they could be off by just what? By just what? A few minutes, the edus is batel. To which the one says, Peshita, that's obvious. Or is that obvious? Because obviously I will say, one is taking place during daylight, one is before daylight. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not so pashat. Elo, echad omer kodem neitzachama. I'm sorry. Elo, echad omer kodem neitzachama. Ve'echad omer besocha neitzachama. So rather the Gemara says, what it means to say is, if one says the murder happened before sunrise, and one says it happened during sunrise, their eidos is also batal. To which the Gemara says, "Hanai pshita," but that's also pashit. No, ma'al de tema ha bigiluya koi vizahuri ba'amud v'chaza. I might have thought Rabbi said that one was standing in the glow of the sunrise and he saw the rays. That's why he mistook that to mean that it was after sunrise, but it was really during sunrise. And so they're really saying the same exact thing, kamash malon no. It's like kamash malon, that if one says before sunrise, and one says after sunrise, one says before sunrise, one says during sunrise, one says during sunrise, one says after sunrise, ultimately, again, the eidos is batal. Va'achar kach machnisin. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah then spoke about the idea that if one of the members, let's say one of the Talmidim says, I have a raya, right? I have a proof to find the defendant innocent. So what do? They bring him onto the Beis Din for that day. So says the Gemara the following idea. Amen. So says the Gemara. O Sahayom Vesulo. We only allow that Talmud to stay on the basement for that day and no more. V'hatanya, we learned. If it turns out that the student had something good to say, meaning that his words were meaningful, he had a good raya, so we keep him on the Beis Din forever. He has a permanent seat on the Beis Din. So the Gemara says, however, again, if it turns out that the raya that he had was nothing, Ein yoreit kalayam kula. We still allow him to sit by the basin for that day. We mean we don't dismiss him that day. Why? Because we don't have to be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Meaning, if they put him on the basin and then a few hours later they take him off the basin, that's embarrassing for him. So once he comes up, we let him stay there for the day. Which the Abayit is right. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. What the Mishnah means is, if the student says, I have a raya, they put him on the Sanhedrin that day. But if it turns out that his raya was meaningless, then what? They don't dismiss him that day. But rather, again, when Beis Din, you know, close, when they end the session that evening, he goes back to his place. Matzaloschus. So also remember, again, the Mishnah says that while the Dayanim are obviously adjudicating the case, but remember, for a capital case, they don't paskin that day, unless they're going to acquit. They let it sit, the judgment sit overnight, but that night, the judges are not permitted to drink wine. So he wants to say, Yai in my time below, why can't they drink wine? Amar Rabbi Acha Brachanina, Amar Kra, for the Rosnim I Sheikhar. Because the Pasek Rabosei says, by Mishle, the Rosnim will say, are the rulers A sheikhar. They should not have any intoxicating beverage. Ha'oskim berazol shalolam. Those who are engaged, literally again, in the secrets of the world, which Rabbi says is a reference to judgment, ayishdakru, should not go ahead and get drunk. Therefore, Rabbi says again, that night, while they're deliberating, they are not permitted to go ahead and drink any inebriating beverages. Matzaloskos. So Rabbi says, listen to this. This is what I'll say. Actually, you know, Dovi mentioned this before when we first learned the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah pointed out over here that let's say, again, they're deadlocked. Let's say they're deadlocked. Or again, let's say you have a case where they are finding the defendant guilty, but only by a majority of one, where you can't convict. So what did the Mishnah say? We keep on adding on judges. Now, obviously, you can't add on more than 71. So what happens if they're at 71 and they're still deadlocked? So they argue until what? Until one of the judges who ruled guilty reverses his position, and ultimately they find him innocent. So the Gemara says, Lo ra'umai, what happens, I will say, if they... Now, the goal over there is, because we want the Sanhedrin to render an innocent verdict. But let's say it can't happen. Meaning, let's say, again, none of the judges who ruled guilty are willing to reverse their positions. So what happens then? I'm going to back a poacher. Poacher, so let's say, obviously, the inability to convict, ultimately leads to a verdict of what? Of innocent. To which the Gemara says, V'chein, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, poacher also. Obviously, if you can't convict, poacher also means we acquit him. I understand. So if that's the case, Rabbi Osei, that if you don't have the majority of two, you can't convict anyway. And by definition, once you can't convict, so the only thing you're doing is what? Is acquitting. So why do you have to go through the whole process of adding on judges and trying to convince each other? Once you don't have the majority of two to convict, then by definition, just acquit the defendant. Listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan, Kadesh lo yetzu mibezin mu'urvavin. The idea, Rabbi Osei, is we don't want the judges, and for that matter, the defendant, and all of those who are observing the proceedings, to go out confused. Rabbi Osei, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. It's almost Rashi right across. Kedishli yetsu mevizim urvavim, genayla bezan shiyetsu b'machlokas, ve'ein yodin v'ligmar satin. Rabbi Osei, what we said before we learned the Mishnah. The idea is we want Bezdin to reach a decisive verdict. The inability to convict the defendant, because you only have a majority of one, leads to a default acquittal, but that default acquittal is not the same as a conclusive ruling for acquittal. So the idea is we want Bezin to adjudicate the case until they reach a decisive verdict of acquittal. Obviously, if that's impossible, we're gonna acquit the defendant, he's gonna go free. But ideally we want Bezin to reach an actual verdict of acquittal. Ikeda Amri, Omnir Popla Bai, Velama Liosifu, Velama Liosifu. It's supposed to be an alternate version of this same discussion. Why do we have to keep adding on judges in order to acquit? Lifterei mi bei dina kama. We'll say, once you only have a simple majority of one to go ahead and find the defendant guilty, you can't find him guilty based on the majority of one. You need a majority of two. If you don't have the majority of two, then by definition he's acquitted. To which the Gemara says, Omnir Yossi, Kai kavaseich. So he said, Rabbi Yosef holds like you. Disanya, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kishem Shem Osif, and Al Bezin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. Rabbi Yosi said the same way, that you can't add judges onto a Bezin of 71. Kach Em Osif, and Al Bezin Shal Esrim Shlosha. So too, you don't add onto a Bezin of 23. So we'll say, Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that by definition, once a Bezin can't find guilty because they only have a majority of one, by definition, that results in automatic acquittal, and there is no need to keep adding on judges until ultimately, again, you reach a decisive verdict of acquittal. So we'll say, what you see over here is a fundamental machlokes. Clearly, again, what the Mishnah wants is for us to be able to reach a decisive verdict of acquittal. So we're going to keep adding on judges until we have a majority for acquittal. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says once you can't reach a majority of two to convict, then by definition that results in acquittal. Ten Rabbanan. Sorry. Ten Rabbanan. Omer Bedine Mamanis. Nizdakin hadin, vein omer bedine nefashas nizdakin hadin. So the Braisa says the following. when it comes to monetary law, so we saying there's dakin hadin. But when it comes to dinei nefashos, when it comes ultimately again to capital cases, we do not say nizdakin hadin. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My nizdakin hadin. What does that statement mean? Ilema kashdina. If you want to say ultimately again that nizdakin hadin means that this judgment is very difficult, and therefore what? We're not going to rule now, but rather again we're going to sleep on it and rule on the case tomorrow. And you're telling me that we say this in monetary law, but we don't say this in capital cases. That doesn't make sense. Ipcha mi boile. Now, both say, if that's the case, that's nizdakin adin means judgment, this is a very complex case, and therefore we shouldn't rule on it now. We should sleep on it until tomorrow. Then I both say, when should you say such a statement like that? By capital cases, not by monetary cases. Ipcha mi boile. Epoch, you're right. Switch it around. Say ultimately again that we say nizdakin hadin, that you should sleep on the case by capital cases, but you need not say that by monetary cases. Ravashi, Amar the Olam lo sefoch. Ravashi, you don't have to turn it around. Umay nizdakin hadin. What is nizdakin? I mean chacham dina, which means we have decided the case wisely. We have decided the case wisely. Look at Rashi just a moment. Chacham dina, yafa maratanu alborov, ve'ein echad mimenu tzarech lahapech uledak tekmo. Ve'ein omrim kein bedine nefashos, shaf mishe gamrua im yedak teka echad v'imatzal eskos mazir. We'll say what the Gemara is saying is over here the following. That apparently, when Beis Din would finish adjudicating the case, as we're going to see, the Rosh Beis Din would say, Nizdakin hadin. Nizdakin hadin rabosai means we have adjudicated this case properly. It's almost like an affirmative statement. We've done our job well. And the Brisa says, when does Beis Din say this? We say this only when, rabosai, by monetary cases, but not by capital cases. Why not by capital cases, rabosai? Because as we're going to see, when it comes to capital cases, even once the Beis Din has rendered its verdict, is the case sealed? And the answer we're going to see is no. The case is only sealed when the defendant is executed. But any time up until the execution of the defendant, the case or the ruling itself could be overturned. So what the Braisa says is at the end of monetary cases, the Beis Din will stand up and say, Shkoyach, Nizdakin Adin. We did our due diligence over here and we did a good job. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, Gadol Shabbatayan Omer Nizdakin Adin. The Gadol, right, the head of the Beis Din would stand up and say, Nizdakin Adin. Yarmut Bishlama Chacham Dina. So if we understand the Braisa to mean, that's what? That Lamaisa, again, means Chacham Dina. This is another mash. Do I look that bad? I'm saying, is it mash? Okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you. That's water, even better. Thank you. Barakatu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakon Yebidvaro. Sorry. I don't know. We'll find out in a few moments. Thank you, Ari. Thank you. So the Gemara says over here the following. If you understand that this Dakin Hadin means Chacham Dina, means that the Beis Din is the Av Beis Din is saying we did a good job. Hainu Damar Gadol. Then it makes sense ultimately again that the Gadol of the Beis Din is saying this. Ali'i Amrit Kashdina. But Rabbosai, if you want to say that ultimately, again, as Dakin Adin means, this case is very complex. We cannot rule on it right now. We have to sleep on it. So lo sagid lo amar gadol kesufehu de kamach sef nachshei. It's, I'm saying, to say that ultimately, again, it's a complex din, and we don't know how to rule, is like a shtickle embarrassing. A shtickle embarrassing. So would the Av Beis Din make this statement? But so listen to this in. Why? It's better to embarrass yourself than to be embarrassed by others. In other words, if the Beis Din cannot reach a conclusive ruling by a capital case, it is better for the Beis Din itself to make that statement than for someone else to make that statement. So or alternate version of this. If you understand this dakin adin to mean that the din is very difficult, we can't reach a verdict now, we're going to have to sleep on it. So then it makes sense that the Gadol Beizin is going to say that, because better for them to quote unquote embarrass themselves than to be embarrassed by someone else. But I will say, if you understand that dakin adin means, it's like a statement, we did a good job, right? We adjudicated this case properly. Ashpuch in mishpach nachshei. Is it appropriate for a Beizin to compliment itself? Yet the Pasuk says, you should be praised by the stranger and not praise yourself. Also, which is a good discern in life. In other words, don't go around complimenting yourself. If you deserve a compliment, someone else will give you that compliment, but don't compliment yourself. So how could the Av Beis Din stand up and say, Shkoyach, we did a good job here? To which the Gemara says, Shiny Milsa de Beidina, Da Gadol Ramya. Beis Din is different. Because also when it comes to a Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din, as we're going to see, has an obligation to give chizuk to the rest of the Beis Din, as well as to the general populace, that the Beis Din is doing a good job. Kidisnan, Gamru es Hadavar, when they went ahead and they ruled on the case, also when they ruled on the case, they would bring in the defendant, the Av Beis Din would say, Irsh ploni atazakai, Irsh ploni atachayiv. So it was the Av Beis Din, Rabosei, who would deliver the verdict, and therefore it was the Av's Beis Din, in order to ensure that the general populace would continue to have trust in the Beis Din, he would say, he would make the statement, literally, Nizdakin adin. We did a good job, we did our due diligence, we adjudicated this case properly. Rabosei, Hadron Allah, how you both get. Rabosei, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Just so you know, it's a little bit, meaning again, I was going to say, we're not going to see the fifth parak of Maseches Sanhedrin for another 7.5 years. But then it's not true, because obviously we're all doing Chazorah also. So Amir Tz Hashem, we'll see it in our Chazorah, but it's an incredible thing, you know. Halavai, we should be Zoche Amir Tz Hashem to return to the fifth parak of Sanhedrin Bekarov. We'll say, let's begin. New parak. Men Beis Amun Beis. Nigmar Hadin. Supposed to remember again, these Mishnayos are taking us through these processes. So Nigmar Adin, once the case has been adjudicated, Motzien Osolosol, supposed to say these are capital cases. So after, this is talking about a case where they found the defendant guilty. They found him guilty. So what happens? They would go ahead and they would bring him out to stone him. To literally stone him. Beis Haskila Hayuchot LeBeis Din. Now, the area where they stoned someone was outside of Beis Din. We'll discuss why this is. In other words, they would stone someone at a distance from the Beis Din. We'll discuss how far. Shenemar, Hotzia Samakalo. As I will say, bringing up the case of the Makalo, the man who blasts him, who cursed the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the desert, ultimately, again, they said, Hotziu Oso. They take him out of the camp. So, Amad, so Echad Amad Al Pesach Beis Din. So let's listen to this. So one guy stood by the entranceway of the Beis Din. V'hasudarin biado. He would have literally again some like scarves in his hand. V'sus rachok mimenu kedei shehu ra'eyu. And there was someone else on horseback who was in eye shot, right, in visual distance. So Omer echad yeshli lalame dalav schus. Hala menef besudarim vasus rats umaamida. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara is going to describe exactly how this was set up. But what this means is the following. As we said before, the Beis Din has found this individual guilty. But even once the individual has been found guilty, we entertain additional testimony up until the actual execution of the individual. So there was a guy who was standing literally outside of the Beis Din, Pesach Beis Din. There was another guy on horseback. So that should someone come forward and say, I have new evidence to find the defendant innocent, the guy standing outside the Beis Din would what? He would go ahead and he would wave his scarf. The guy on horseback, we're going to see in the Gemara, where the guy is riding. Is he riding out to the Beis Haskila to tell them to stop? Is he riding out to the base to the Beis Din? It sounds like the first guy is by the Beis Din to tell them we have new testimony. So we'll discuss where everybody's standing, where everybody's riding. Can you imagine this? But we have this whole system set up to account for the possibility that there's going to be some new late-breaking testimony that could potentially save the life of the individual. Va'afilu hu omer, yesh li lalamed al atzmi zchus Machzirno Sabo said, this is amazing. Even if the individual is convicted, even if the Sabo, can you imagine this scene? He's about to be stoned. He's about to be killed. And he says, oh, I remembered I have some new information that could help my case. So let's say, if he says that, what do we do? Machzirno so we bring him back to Beis Din. Afilu arba v'chamesh pamim. Even 4 and 5 times. However, again, ubilvad sheish mamish bidvarav. As long as what? As long as ultimately, again, we see some validity to his words. So obviously, again, Abosai, the idea being any guy who doesn't want to get killed could just simply keep saying what? Oh, I remember something. So obviously, there has to be some type of vetting process to see if what he's saying, if there's something to his words. So we'll see how that is in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Beis Haskil Chutzla Beis Din, was the Beis Haskil Rabbos at the area where they stoned someone? What, now, the Mishnah makes it sound like that Beis Haskil Haya Chutzla Beis Din. So we'll say, what does Chutzla Beis Din sound like? They wouldn't stone the guy in Beis Din. But what would they do? They would send him right outside of Beis Din. So Zadid, it was just outside of Beis Din, Vesulo, Vatanya, Beis Haskila Hayachutz L'Shalosh Machanos, but yet we learned that the Beis Haskila was outside of the three camps. Rabbi said, this is talking about in the desert. Outside of the three camps, which Rabbi said, puts the Beis Haskila a very good distance away from the Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, in Kiddikamrat, you're right. Doesn't just mean that the Beis Haskila was just outside of Beis Din. What it means is, the Beis Haskila, Rabbi said, was a good distance from Beis Din. So the Gemara says, "V'hai diktani hacha." So why does the Mishnah use the lashon of chut, just simply chutz lebeis din? Nafkamina dinafik beidina v'yasev chutz l'shalosh machanos avdinon beis haskilo chutz lebeis din. We'll say what it means is that if Beis Din had set itself up outside of the three camps, we would still make sure to distance the beis haskilo from the Beis Din itself. Kihech nabosei. Now, why is this? Why do we make sure to distance the Beis Haskila from the Beis Din? Ki hechi delo mischazi Beis Din rotzchim. I'm going to say ultimately again, because we don't want Beis Din to look like murderers. In other words, if Skila were to happen right outside of the Beis Din, it looks like Beis Din is an execution factory. We don't want that. Therefore, in order to avoid this, we distance the Beis Haskila from the Beis Din. Inami ki hechi detehavi le'atzala. But the other possibility is that the greater distance you place between the Beis Haskila and the Beis Din, that distance by definition means that what? It's going to have to be transportation time. That transportation time allows for what? For potentially new testimony to come about that would save the life of the individual. Okay? How do we know that indeed the Beis Haskila was outside of the three machanos, was outside of the three camps in the desert? The Tanna Rabbanan, because it will say, the Braisa says, Hotzies amakalo amichutz lamachane. Because the Pasuk says, it will say, by the makalo, by the person who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take him out amichutz lamachane. And we darsh, what does chutz lamachane mean? Chutz legimel machanos. It means take him out of the three camps. Ata omer chutz legimel machanos. You say it means take him out of the three camps. Maybe not the three camps. Maybe it just means take him out of one of the camps. It says over here by the Mekalo, take him out of the camp. And it says by the Parim HaNesrafim, the bull offerings that are burned. There are two Parim that we're talking about over here. One is the Par of the Kohen Gadol, and one is the Par HaElam Davar Min HaTzibor. Now, essentially, they're both brought for the same purpose. One, Parhalim Davar Min HaTzibor means the Sanhedrin paskened on something and made a mistake, but a serious mistake. They permitted something that is normally punishable by kares. Let's give you an extreme example. The Sanhedrin paskened, you could eat on Yom Kippur, for argument's sake. So we'll say that is an offense punishable by kares. If the Sanhedrin goes ahead and makes such an erroneous ruling, they have to bring what's called a par ha'alam davar min hatzibor. And we'll say that par is unique in that it's burned outside of the three camps. Similarly, if you have a Kohen Gadol who also issues an erroneous ruling, same thing. His par is burnt outside of the three camps. So the Gemara says, we make a gzir shava, or we learn over here, between execution and the paros. usually the Purim. So the Gemara says, what is it saying? Ne'amar kan michutz l'machaneh. It says by the Mekalel that he is to be executed michutz l'machaneh. Ve'ne'amar b'parim hanesrafim chutz l'machaneh. And it says by the bulls, the right that are supposed to be burned outside of the machaneh. Ma la'alon chutz l'shalosh machaneh. So we'll say, just like we know that those bulls are burned outside of the three camps, Afkan l'shalosh machanos, so too over here we know the execution takes place outside of the three camps. V'hasam minalon, how do we know that when the bulls are burned? They are burned outside of the three camps. The Tan Rabbanon, v'hotzi es kol apar al michutz l'machaneh. The Pasuk says, we'll say the slaughtering of the parim take place inside the camp, or inside the Beis HaMikdash, but they are burned outside. So, hotzi es kol apar al michutz l'machaneh, chutz l'shalosh machanos. So it means outside of the three camps. So how do you know it means three camps? Maybe it only means one camp. When the Pasuk says that you should go ahead and take it outside of the camp to be burned by the Par Ha'ido, we'll say, now this doesn't need to be stated. Why not? The Gemara says, Shari kvar ne'amar v'saraf oso kasher saraf es ha'par rishon. The Pasuk already told me you should burn it as you burned the first par, which we'll say teaches me already that the same thing that governs this par, governs the same thing that governed the original par, governs this par as well. Litein lo machane shnia. So we'll say this redundant pasuk teaches me an additional camp that I have to remove it out of. Ukisho omer al michutz l'machane badeshen. And when it says again, we'll say the pasuk says that you shall go ahead and take it out to the camp. Shein tamud lomar. This pasuk is also extraneous. Sharik var ne'amar al shefach hadeshen yisarif. Pasuk already says that you shall burn it by the ash pile. Litein lo machane shlishis. Bosei, it teaches me ultimately three camps. So from here, from these redundancy in the psukim, I learn that the paros, both of the bull offerings, Bosei, the bull of the Sanhedrin and the bull of the Kohen Gadol, are both burned outside of the three camps. You understand what we're doing over here is we're making zirah shava between the parim, the two bulls, and ultimately again the person who is executed, because by both of them it uses a lashon of michutz lamachane, outside the camp. So just like by the bulls, it means outside of the three camps, so too over here by execution, it means outside of the three camps. So let's just do one more line. For Leilich Mishchut Echutz, why don't we learn out between the Makalo, that the execution, why don't we learn Xerisha between the Makalo, the execution, the person who's executed, for cursing God, and Shchut Echutz. So Shchut Echutz means the prohibition to offer up or to shecht karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The prohibition of Shchut Echutz applies where? Even outside of one camp. Remember, the Beis HaMikdash is considered to be the Machane Shechinah. See, even if you shech that outside of one camp, it's prohibited. Just like over here, if you shech the carbon outside of one Machane, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're obligated, or you're liable. Afkan chutz l'machane. Maybe I will say for execution as well. We can execute outside of one Machane as well. To which the Gemara says, Mistabra mi parim hanisrafim. It's better, I will say, to learn out the din of execution, from the din of the parim. Why? Shekein hotse, because I will say, by both of these, you have the lashon of hotse, remove. El michutz l'machane, use lashon of michutz l'machane. Machshir, both of them are preparatory acts. Mechaper, both of them atone, and both of them atone. So we'll say, therefore, it's more mistaber to learn out, ultimately, again, the din of execution from the din of the parim. Adarabah, mishchut echutz havei lemeilev. I can make the counter argument, learning out from mishchut echutz, how so? Shekein adam chote, because Rose said, both of them, ultimately, again, are situations of that deal with people. Right, Rashi points out the verse Shekein Adam Michutz LaMachane DeMekala BaAdam Tzir. We'll say both of them use lashon of Adam. Furthermore, Chote, both of them deal with transgressions. Binish Shama. Ultimately, again, I will say both of them bear a prohibition. Ultimately, of Netilas Shama. If you offer up karbanos outside of the Beis Hamikdash, that is partial by death. And ultimately, again, obviously, execution means the taking of life. And Pigul, I will say Pigul ultimately means. Pigul, something can be rendered pigul if done in the wrong location as well. So the Gemara answers, Machshir mi machshir adif. We have a closer connection ultimately between what? Well, first, if you look at Rashi just says, Pigul, mit mechutz l'machane, tishchut echutz, ומקלל אי אתה מוצא פיגו על ידי אוסו חוץ למחנה. אבל פורים רואים לספגל על ידי אוסו. So we'll say, just like something can become pigo, ultimately through a change of location, so to over here, this act of execution has to take place in a different location as well. So what the Gemara is asking over here is the following. We're trying to learn out, remember, we're going to stop with this, but we're trying to learn out the idea that the person is executed outside of the three camps. The Gemara just says, now the way we learn that out is how? By comparing it to the Purim, to the two bull offerings, one of the Sanhedrin and the one of the Kohen Gadol. Those are burned where? Outside of the three camps. All the Gemara wants to suggest is that Lemaisa, why don't you compare execution to Shechut Eichutz? And just as Shechut Eichutz, the prohibition of offering up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that prohibition is true even outside of one camp. Maybe execution should also take place only outside of one camp. In other words, the Sanhedrin can't execute the person inside the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, you can execute, to which the Gemara ultimately ends off by saying, Machshir Mimachshir Adif. It is better ultimately to learn out one preparatory act from another preparatory act. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Machshir adiflei lemelef chutz lemachane ha'amar b'shnei elu kachi chovaso ureuyin lilmol zemizeh v'lo michutz lemachane tishchutei chutz shushalo kidas k'nusua." So we'll say ultimately again, the Gemara says, it is better to learn out ultimately again the laws of execution from the laws of the Purim, because I will say, just like again, both of them have their preparatory acts done inside the Machaneh. In the case of the Purim, it's the Shechita. In the case, ultimately, again, of the executioner, it's the Gemar Din. And yet, both of them have the rest of the process carried out outside of the Machaneh. Just like by the Purim, it's Michutz L'Shalosh Machanos, so too by the executioner, L'Shalosh Machanos as well. So both sides. So we're going to stop over here for today. But again, where we end off is that even though the Mishnah used the Lashon of Michutz L'Beis Din, so can also Michutz L'Beis Din, even if Michutz L'Beis Din just means in the backyard of the Beis Din, Kamash Molon. Kashan chutz lebeizin means what? Rabbi Osai, chutz l'shalosh machanos. That the execution of the convicted defendant takes place at a good distance from the Beis Din. Why the good distance from the Beis Din? Because as we learned before, in order that what? Either one of two reasons. Beis Din should not look like murderers, or a second possibility is the greater distance there is between the place where the judgment is adjudicated and where the sentence is carried out gives just a little bit more time for new testimony and the possibility for the overturning of the verdict.